Good morning. Welcome everybody here to Baptist Christian Church this morning. If you look in your bulletins, I'll share with you some opportunities we have this week. Today, immediately following the service, we do have Sunday school classes for all ages. Wednesday, 6:30, we have prayer and Bible study. Thursday, 6 o'clock, we do have our regular Crusader Club meeting. It's also a special note there for the clubbers to remember to finish their verses because the year is coming to a close. Tonight, there is a elders and deacons meeting at 7 o'clock, so make note of that. Saturday evening, it's time to set your clocks forward. Just as we got used to the sun coming up, the time that it does, we're going to change that. So remember to set your clocks forward an hour. Looking ahead, we got the Easter and graduation breakfast, so we're looking for volunteers on that. VBS is coming up, so there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. Start looking at the different things and ways that you can help out with that. Crusader Carnival's coming up on March 14th. And you'll notice there's the sign-up sheet for the Crusader Sunday on March 17th. We'll be having pizza then. So we do have a congratulations here to Dirk and Susan, their new grandparents again. Chloe Michelle Holcomb. Sorry, why is that? Chloe Michelle Holcomb, born on February 24th to Nick and Hope. So congratulations.
Chloe weighed 8 pounds, 1 ounce, 20 inches long. Just good holding size. Congratulations. That's pretty cool. We're glad you're here this morning. Thank you for coming. And there's some interesting things going on. At the end of the month is Easter. Who do you know that you could invite to come with you Easter Sunday? If they want to get up real early, they could come to the sunrise service, have breakfast with us, and then spend the time with us in worship and Sunday school and go home. So why not be praying and just ask the Lord to direct you, perhaps lay someone on your heart and make efforts to invite somebody to come with you this coming Easter. And if it works out, then maybe we could keep it up for the rest of the year. Wouldn't that be fun? So you think about that and pray about that. We're glad you're here to worship this morning, to share at the Lord's table. What a great thing he's done. Let's bow in prayer and ask God to minister to us. Let's look to God in prayer. Eternal God, our loving Heavenly Father, what a great day it will be when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Father, thank you for your great redeeming love and for all that you have done for us. Thank you for the privilege of coming to worship you this morning. We would ask that you would speak to our hearts as only you can do. We pray that you would refresh us, that you would strengthen us, that you would teach us. Father, draw us into you today. We thank you for the great privilege of sharing our tithes and offerings with you. Ask you to receive them as they are given with cheerful hearts. It is our prayer, O God, that all that's done and said in this hour will be pleasing to you and will draw us closer to you. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for all our blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you can stand, sure appreciate it. If you can't, that's fine for the reading of his word this morning. And we'll be going to Genesis Chapter 22, verses 1 through 8. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Abraham, father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. We come before you this morning and we give you the praise and the adoration that is yours because of who you are. Our Father, we come to you this morning with broken and contrite hearts. We thank you, we honor you, we praise you, we glorify you for all that you have done for us in these past days. How magnificently you have watched over us. How gracious you have been to us at times when we did not deserve it. How merciful you have been. And we thank you, Father, because you are a patient and a loving God. And we thank you that you are a God who calls us to repentance. We thank you that you are a God who gives us as many second chances as we need to see, to understand, to respond, to follow you. We would ask you to forgive us for our sins. We have chosen wrong in these past days. We have chosen to follow ourselves rather than you. And so we pray in these moments that you will meet with us personally, that you will speak to our hearts as only you can do. We pray that we will respond to your divine correction. Father, we have been in a hard battle these past days. Many are carrying burdens that only you know about, that are heavy, that are painful. They need to meet with you this morning. Thank you that you are a faithful God, that you have brought us all here to meet with you as individuals. Father, you have been victorious. You have helped us be victorious in some ways, and we praise you for that. Thank you. You have taught us from your word. All around us, it seems that evil is triumphing. And day upon day, it seems that our country and the world is drifting further and further from the God who not only created us, but holds us into being by the word of his power. Forgive us. Forgive us, your children, for not standing fast, for not walking worthy, for choosing the easy road out many times. We pray for our president, for our leaders. God, only you can turn our country around. Only you can redeem the world. We need you. So, Father, in these moments, would you speak? You minister to us. And as you call us, we pray that you will meet with us in such a way that we will find the courage to respond. Change our lives. Father, we love you so much today. You've been so good to us. Thank you. We lift our prayers to you in the mighty, eternal, saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake, amen. 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 This is a passage that most Christians know well. It is often addressed. Thousands and thousands of sermons have been preached. This is one of those situations where understanding comes only from experience. It's hard to imagine what Abraham must have thought when God told him to go sacrifice Isaac. For a man 100 years old, whose wife had been barren during her childbearing years, this was beyond human comprehension. But may I offer this to you this morning? God routinely deals in things that are beyond human comprehension. There's an example. We can't comprehend that, but God does. And so God often deals in things that are way over our heads. I was doing some study some time back on the names of God. We put some different names. I've been doing that for a while on the prayer list and sharing with them. And I was reading a book by Herbert Locklear, and he had a really nifty outline on this topic. And so from now until Easter, I've borrowed the different points of his outline and want to use it to just talk about our faith and to talk about how God calls us to do different things, how he grows us and how he shares with us. Beloved, listen, you and I live in a day when common faith will not see us through. We are going to need extraordinary faith. Many of us have lived in a time when it was, well, better, perhaps a little easier to live here than it is now. And because party, because title, because human pride gets in the way, our economy is changing, isn't it? It's going to be harder for us. I was talking with someone recently and just about the things that were going on, and one of the hardest things for us as Christians to remember is that God's man is leading us. That's hard for us to accept, isn't it? And when we look around and we see what's going on, it ought to be very clear to any believer that God is tired of us turning him away. And so we need to pay attention to what he's saying. Our faith will be called into play each day. And Abraham, the friend of God, gives us just an amazing example of faith, commitment to God, a belief in God that staggers our understanding. So I want to share with you some things today and in the coming weeks. And guys, God's talking to us again. He wants to develop our faith. He wants to have a faith like Abraham had. And if we listen, and if we give God the chance to minister to us in this way, then the same God who saw to it for Abraham will see to it for us. And so I want to start this morning with a fundamental truth. And that is, this whole thing is a memorial of divine intervention. A memorial of divine intervention. We're going to talk about this often, and this whole thing as a memorial to divine intervention. Here is one right here. We're called to remember God intervened in human history to redeem us. And had God not done that, we would be hopeless. So this is a physical, visible memorial, a reminder of God's intervention in our lives. As you know, Genesis is the book of beginnings. And I'm working through Genesis with the teens on Thursday night. And several weeks ago when I began, I gave them a piece of paper and a pencil. I said, write down as many things as you can think of that began in Genesis. And boy, they had a list. One teen was pretty clever. They just wrote down everything. See? That's pretty close to correct. They saw what was going on. This event in Abraham's life is the first recorded event in Scripture of where a place was named because God intervened and manifested himself to a person. It's the first, but obviously not the last. As you know, Jacob and Moses, Joshua, several people built altars to God when they met with God and they named them. And each of those places was specific and identified how God met them there. One author says the most significant point of consecrating the spot and giving it its extraordinary sanctity was to remind the person of the awful circumstances. God brings people to a place at what is, by all our definition, just an awful situation. And that place comes to have particular sanctity to us. It becomes special to us. And it is important because of that. But more importantly, it is to magnify and remind them of God's great grace that redeemed and delivered them out of such severe circumstances. And so I want you to kind of keep that where you can get a hold of it. It becomes more important. Let's consider Abraham's awful situation for a minute. It was that God had asked him to sacrifice what had become in Abraham's life his earthly focus. Now listen carefully. That was not a bad thing. Abraham did not forsake God and worship Isaac. That's not how Isaac became his focus. God understood what was going on with Isaac to a great degree. And Abraham began to focus his attention on building Isaac into a man of God. See, Isaac was an event in Abraham's life. That was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It wasn't going to happen again. And so Isaac understood the importance of shaping Isaac's life so that it would be the desire of Isaac's heart to follow God, because Abraham, I don't think maybe understood it all the way, but God had told him, it is through your son that I will build a nation that can't be counted. I will, in time, bless all people of the world. Now, Abraham didn't understand all of that. You and I know, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. And we understand. We see the whole thing. Isaac was more important to Abraham than his own life. He was a child of promise. One day God meets with Abraham, which I don't think was unusual. And he says, Abraham, I've got a little job for you. What's that? I want you to take Isaac, your son, your only son whom you love, to Mount Moriah, and there I want you to sacrifice him to me. Now, to you and I, that just won't compute, will it? I have a feeling the man, Abraham, had a little trouble with that. God is now asking Abraham to sacrifice the hope, the way that the nation will be built, the only way through whom God is going to bless all people. That just doesn't make any sense. It's hard for you and I to think about that, isn't it? Imagine an unbeliever. There's a reason why an unbeliever wouldn't be a believer. And so God calls Abraham. And he said, I want you to take that, and I want you to give it back to me. Meet me at Moriah. I have a question for you to think about. Has God ever called you to Moriah? It's a hard thing when it happens, isn't it? It's an interesting thing, beloved. Often we have to go to Moriah to meet with God in the way that He wants us to. See, God has to place in our heart a demand that is just way too big for us. That ever happened? Is God calling you, listen, is God calling you to meet with Him to do something that you just can't see happening? From your perspective, you say, that is a human impossibility. Is God calling you to test you? God does that often. Our first thought is, what? Are you kidding me? God, have I not been walking with you? Have I not been spending time with you to listen from my heart? Have I not put you first in my life? Have I not struggled enough? Now you're calling me to this. What's up? Where have I gone wrong? Right? Begin to think like that. Oftentimes, God calls us when nothing's gone wrong. But nevertheless, God calls us. Probably if the truth be known, most men in here right now have been called to Moriah at some point in their life, or you are now on the journey to Moriah, or there is yet coming a time, but it most generally happens. We're going about our daily life, and all of a sudden God says, meet me at this place. And when we get there, God has planned for us an act that will, for the rest of our lives, radically change our lives. Abraham was not the same Abraham on the way back from Moriah. At that meeting, at that call, God makes it clear to us that He's setting us on a course to rendezvous with Him for a single purpose of driving a knife deep into the heart of that which is the focus of our entire life. God makes us understand in the deepest part of our inner being, I've met with you. I have called you. And I will meet you hence, where you will sacrifice to me that which at this point gives you the very reason you live. Most often when God talks with us like that, he touches the area of our life that causes us to respond or react most severely. It hurts most deeply. And then God tells us, I'm demanding of you your stubbornness. I will meet with you and you will sacrifice it. I am demanding from you your pride. I am calling you to sacrifice forever your independence from me. And when God comes to men with that call, he drives them towards a place where God will meet with them and kill their deep-rooted fear of spiritual growth. God will put to death forever their reluctance to spiritual maturity and all that that implies. God calls his children to him to meet with him, and he wants them to put to death their skepticism, their reluctance, their excuses, their fears of ministry, their fear of using the spiritual gift that God has given to them. Beloved, understand. God leaves no part of a person's life untouched, uncalled, uncleansed. God wants all. It comes down to the truth that as God called Abraham, he calls men today to sacrifice their life as Isaac was Abraham's life. That call is seldom instantaneous in its response or its results. You see, there's always that time from the time when God calls to the altar. And in that time, a person wrestles with God, argues with God, tries to reason with God, even tries to manipulate with God. Whether the walk takes a few minutes, a few days, a few weeks, or decades, each step is excruciating. It's hard because even under the weight of such a severe demand, the person cannot stop walking. It is God that drives them on. You can fear the meeting, you can dread it, but you can't avoid it. He will find himself at the altar with a knife raised. And it's at the moment we raise the knife that God delivers a man from such an awful situation with an almighty solution. You see, to Abraham, Isaac had been dead 3 days by the time he got there. the whole way there, Abraham knew what he was going to do. And he'd already given Isaac to God. And if we can understand this, it helps. Listen, listen. God calls us to lay on the altar that which consumes us. And when we lay it on the altar and we raise the knife and we're ready to plunge it, often God stops us because at that point the sacrifice has been made and God then returns to us that which we gave to him, only it is now ready for God to mold into the divine image he planned in the first place. Put your pride on the altar, and God will return it to you as humility. Put your arrogance on the altar, and God will give it back to you as privilege. Put your fear, your excuse, whatever it is, put it on the altar, and God will give it back to you, prepared to use to his glory. Abraham is the only person that actually knows what that dagger weighed. It was his son. He was bound. It was Abraham that put him on the altar. It was not pure muscular strength of a 100-year-old man that raised the knife. It was the power of unchallenged belief in an almighty God. Abraham knew if it was necessary that God would give Isaac his life back. How do I know that? It says in, I want to find it for you. I know it's right here. I'm looking over it. It's Abraham got to the mountain, and he told his servants to wait. Oh, in verse 8, God himself will provide a lamb. The two of them went on together. He told his servants, we will go and we will return. Understand? Understand? We will go. I will sacrifice as I have been told and we will return. Want a New Testament example of that? It's given to us in the book of Hebrews, where we are told that Jesus looked beyond the cross to the joy that was set before him. Jesus saw beyond the cross to the resurrection. God has a better picture for us, but we have to go to the altar. Listen, listen. We talk with God in several ways, don't we? We talk to God and we say, here's how it is. Deliver me from this. Did you ever wonder why God sometimes takes so long to get us out of the thing? When did the lamb appear? When the knife was raised. As long as Abraham didn't raise the knife, no lamb. Not even when he was laying him on the altar. He had to stand over his son and raise the knife. God does not provide the lamb until the knife is ready to be plunged. Only then did God deliver. Here's something you need to remember. God does not deliver us from ultimatums. God, I want to do what you want me to do, and here's how I'll know it's your will. Work it out this way. God, if you'll cause this to happen, and then you'll cause this to happen, I'll know. God, if we can see this way, God, I need you to do this, and I need you to do that. It'll work. God does not deliver us that way. God delivers us when we do what God tells us, God's way, when God tells us to do it, and that's it. Because His way is the only right way. Perfectly holy. You see, I think the most precious words that any believer can hear are down in verse 12 of chapter 22. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Watch. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. You see, after Moriah, Abraham had a whole different viewpoint. I want to tell you something. We're going to talk more about this down the road. You understand God is omniscient. God, this was not a surprise to God. He knew this. But Abraham didn't. Abraham had to know. You see, it's okay to walk to Moriah. It's okay to bind him. It's even okay to lay him on the altar, because none of that will kill him. But raising that knife is a whole different thing. And you see, Abraham didn't plan to stop here. He planned to stop here. And God said, you don't need to do that. I know where you're going. It was only here that God gave the lamb. Some of you are making the journey a lot longer and a lot harder than it needs to be because you find all kinds of reasons not to raise the knife. You won't raise the knife because somewhere down deep inside you, you don't trust God. Beloved, the Lord God, who is Jesus Christ, paid the price. He suffered the condemnation. He did what you couldn't do. God cannot ask you to do what you can't do. It's been done. So when God says, meet me, and on this day, at this time, in this place, you will sacrifice to me that which occupies your heart.
Doesn't have to be in a bad way. But you got to go there. You got to raise the knife. And some of you have been standing at the altar with whatever it is, bound and laying there, and you've been looking at it until there's nothing left to look at. You are standing in agony. You are standing in severe discomfort. You're wasting time. You're the one suffering. See, God already knows what's going on. God sees the other side. We're going to talk about that. See, God sees tomorrow just like you see now. God knows what He's got planned for you. God sees how it's easier. And it hurts God. It hurts His heart. When His children say, no, I prefer the hard way. No, I prefer to stand here and just continue in this. Some of you are carrying grudges that you should have dropped years ago. Some of you are letting things eat you that shouldn't even be in your mind. Some of you are fighting moving forward for God because you know when you do, you're not going to get the pity. You're going to have to be responsible. You're going to have to change. You're going to have to act different. But you won't raise the knife, will you? Beloved, listen to me. Listen to me. It's actually harder not to raise the knife. And yet, you don't raise it. Why? Why? Men, let me ask you something. Do you see your sons and your daughters, your sons-in-law, your daughters-in-law, as children of promise? Do you see them as the people who will lead your family in the way to come for generations, the way of the Lord for generations to come? Do you understand that absolutely everything about your life all day, every day shapes their lives? They will not do what you tell them. They will do what you show them. If you want your children to pray when you're not there, you need to let them see you pray. You need to teach them that. You want your children to follow God when you're not there, you better be walking with them now. You see, beloved, we're living in serious times. We're able to see physically, visibly, every day, this is not a game. This is life and death. And just because we're saved does not give us license. The ungodly are going to watch those who have declared themselves to be Christians and say, now, let's see how it works under pressure. Let's see how it works when freedom goes south. Let's see how it works when Satan shows himself. And you need to know that if you've not met God at Moriah, you're going to have some serious issues. God will call you to do something that is humanly impossible, and until you do it, all else stays dormant. But beloved, after you do it. All else is easier. Now, let me tell you something. Abraham and Isaac made that three-day journey. And Isaac wasn't stupid. Isaac knew what was going on. He said, "Dad, where's the lamb?" One of the most profound statements in all of Scripture God gave to Abraham. God Himself will provide the lamb. Get it? Get it? God provided the lamb for Abraham. I think the whole time they were gone, Sarah was on her knees. I think Abraham talked with her. And I think she spent those 3 days in agonizing prayer. Ladies, Isaac sure knew. And Abraham walked forward, praying the entire time. Guys, here's what I'd like for you to take home. It is your deliverance. It is your meeting with God at Moriah that will prepare your family to walk with God in such a way that the most severe circumstances will not divert them from meeting with God. There needs to be in every man's life a memorial of divine intervention. Why? If you know you're on the journey, why would you not meet God and raise the knife? God will provide. Great God of heaven, our Father, what a blessedness, what a peace to know that we have been cleansed from sin and set free. Continue to meet with us. Continue to call us. We know that your word does not return to you void, but that it will accomplish the purpose for which you send it forth. So, Father, make us attentive that we might see what you want to do in our lives, and then we freely give you the opportunity to do that. We go now to be about the business of the Lord. In the mighty saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.